Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Wednesday, November 14th, 2018. Coming up this hour.
Stocks around the world are lower following a record string of losses for oil.
Italian bonds fall as the populist government calls the EU's bluff.
The pound trims gains as Theresa May brings a Brexit deal to her cabinet.
First Lady Melania Trump is demanding the ouster of the top deputy of the National Security Advisor, plus the death toll from wildfires continues to climb in Northern California. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Home wins for the Devils and Islanders, and better news than expected on the injury to the Nets' leading scorer, Caris LeVert.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Interactive Brokers, rated number one best online broker 2018 and the top online broker for the eighth consecutive year by Barron's. Visit ibkr.com/yib to learn more.
And U.S. stock index futures are now little change, while European shares are moving lower as investors weigh the rout in oil prices. It is 6:01 on Wall Street. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures, little change. Dow futures up 5. NASDAQ futures down 17. The DAX in Germany is down 0.4%. CAC in Paris down 0.3%. And the FTSE 100 is up 0.1%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.2%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was down 0.5%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 3.13%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.88%. COMEX gold is down about 0.1%, down 80 cents to $1,200.70 an ounce. The euro is at $1.1267, the yen 113.92. Nathan.
Oil prices, Karen, are gaining for the first time in 13 sessions after OPEC President Suhail Al-Mazrui said the group will cut production as needed to balance the market. He spoke exclusively to Bloomberg.
Exact number will be studied by the technical group. They will bring that in to the minister's meeting in December. My expectation, the group will reach consensus on whatever required to adjust the market.
And oil is rebounding following those remarks from the OPEC president. Brent is 0.5% higher, or 32 cents at $65.79 a barrel, while West Texas Intermediate is up 7 cents now to $55.75.
In Asia today, stocks fell for a fourth session despite strength in Japan. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally has details from Singapore.
The TOPIX closed higher by 0.2% in Tokyo on the back of a weaker yen, despite data showing a bigger-than-forecast contraction in third-quarter economic growth. Most analysts predict a rebound, though, in the fourth quarter, with the latest data skewed by a spate of natural disasters in Japan. Chinese shares halted a two-day advance on a mixed data dump, which showed retail sales slowed in October, while industrial output and business investment picked up. Most Asian airlines and power producers rose, along with Indian fuel refiners, due to the collapse in crude oil prices, while Australian energy stocks took a beating. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thanks. While stocks in Europe are falling for the most part, automakers are outperforming. That's as sources tell Bloomberg that car tariffs from the White House are on hold for the moment. Bloomberg's Justina Lee has more.
The Trump administration will hold off for now imposing new tariffs on auto imports because officials are still looking at possible revisions to a report on the national security implications. So it seems like something the industry has been really worried about all year long at least will not happen for now.
Now, President Trump has threatened levies as high as 25% on foreign cars. While those tariffs could still come, sources say the administration isn't ready to act just yet.
The euro area economy grew 0.2% in the third quarter, but in Germany, the economy shrank for the first time since 2015. The 0.2% contraction was worse than expected and the biggest in more than 5 years. Bloomberg is senior euro area economist David Powell.
The press statement from the statistics agency saying it was largely because of net exports, that would be foreigners having bought fewer cars, but there could have also been some broader weakness from abroad as, for example, in China, they deal with the trade war.
Still, Bundesbank expects a rebound in German growth for the fourth quarter.
In Italy, meanwhile, bonds are falling as the populist government calls the bluff of EU enforcers. Bloomberg's John Fulane has details from Rome.
The ruling coalition is sticking to its 2019 budget deficit and growth targets, defying the European Commission in a letter to Brussels. Now the commissioners have to decide whether to kickstart a process which could end up punishing Italy with fines of several billion euros. In Rome, John Fulane, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thank you. The UK and EU are a step closer to a Brexit deal. Now Prime Minister Theresa May will ask her cabinet to back the plan or quit. Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo reports from 10 Downing Street.
Theresa May is going to have to convince everyone in this cabinet that this is the best deal she can possibly get. It's better than a no deal, and they have to really back her now. If it doesn't get cleared by the cabinet, I think we're back to square one, only time is really running out.
The cabinet meeting is set for 9 a.m. Wall Street time.
Well, here in the U.S., we get remarks today from Fed Chairman Jay Powell. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has details.
The speech takes place at the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas, and it'll be hosted by Dallas Fed President Robert Kaplan. Powell is scheduled to discuss national and global economic issues. Omer Sharif is senior U.S. economist at Societe Generale.
I really expect Chair Powell is going to sort of stick to the gradual path that the Fed has been on. The bigger question is, as we get to 3%, as we get to neutral next year, is the Fed going to decide that they want to pause and see how the economy is unfolding, given all the rate hikes we've had to date or not? And we'll see whether or not he sort of expounds on that.
After his speech, Powell will be taking questions from the audience. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Charlie. And at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time, the government issues its latest data on inflation. Economists forecast the consumer price index rose 0.3% in October. Bloomberg's Vinnie Dalgiudice has more.
The CPI tracks the cost of living. Data last week pointed to a flare-up in wholesale prices. October's producer price index posted the largest increase in 6 years amid White House tariffs on Chinese goods. If that pattern holds, higher costs could be passed on to American families. In September, the consumer price index barely budged amid a decline in energy and transport costs. Vinnie Dalgiudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Vinny. And on the corporate front, Tencent Holdings is out with earnings that topped estimates. The Chinese tech company reported a 24% gain in revenue, bucking the trend of recent letdowns from the likes of Alibaba and Baidu. Still, the beat stems in part from lowered expectations as revenue grew at the slowest pace since 2015. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. It is 6:07 on Wall Street. Time to check out the latest world and national headlines. For that, we turn to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. First Lady Melania Trump is demanding the ouster of National Security Advisor John Bolton's top deputy, Myra Ricardle, as reports swirl about an imminent shakeup of President Trump's administration. Melania Trump's spokeswoman says Ricardle, quote, no longer deserves the honor of serving in this White House. A person familiar with the matter says Ricardle clashed with the First Lady's staff after threatening to withhold National Security Council resources during Melania Trump's trip to Africa last month, unless Ricardle or another NSC official was included in her entourage. Multiple sources say President Trump is looking at possible replacements for Chief of Staff John Kelly and Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen. Officials in Northern California say the death toll continues to climb from the deadliest wildfire in state history. The Camp Fire has now claimed the lives of 48 people, most of them in the town of Paradise. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The worst death toll in the state's history. Governor Jerry Brown says resources are about tapped out.
Other states are providing resources. California is pretty well maxed out, and so we do need that help that we're getting. We're very appreciative.
And President Trump has declared a federal state of emergency. In the northern part of the state, schools have been closed. Very unhealthy or unhealthy conditions are forecast to continue through the end of the week. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Vice President Mike Pence is in Singapore for the ASEAN summit and met with Myanmar state counselor, the equivalent position to Prime Minister Aung San Suu Kyi. While saying he'd like to hear about the country's progress, the vice president also chastised Myanmar for its human rights violations inflicted upon the Rohingya Muslims.
The violence and persecution by military and vigilantes that resulted in driving 700,000 Rohingya to Bangladesh is without excuse.
The nation's leading e-cigarette maker announced it's halting store sales of some flavors to deter use by kids. Juul's announcement comes ahead of an expected government crackdown on underage sales of e-cigarettes. Global News 24 hours a day, on air, and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks for that. 6:09 now on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update brought to you by Investors Bank. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, it looked a whole lot worse. Monday night in Minnesota, the Nets leading scorer, Caris LeVert, took a bad fall. It looked like one of those gruesome, perhaps career-ending injuries, carted off, taken to the hospital. As it turns out, no broken bones, no surgery, and LeVert may actually return to the Nets later this season. Doesn't appear as if Carmelo Anthony, the longtime Knicks star, is going to return to the Rockets after playing just 10 games. Sat out again last night as Houston won at Denver. His release said to be imminent. Still not known if Anthony's going to latch on to another team or if that's the end of his career. Hockey, Devils back home from a 1-6 road trip. Beat Pittsburgh 4-2. Taylor Hall in on all four. 2 goals, 2 assists. Islanders ended a 3-game losing streak 5-2 over Vancouver. Billed as the NFL game of the year Monday night. Rams and Chiefs both are 9-1. The game was to be played in Mexico City, but the field there deemed unplayable. They'll stay in the U.S. and play in Los Angeles. Le'Veon Bell won't play at all this season. His holdout in Pittsburgh will cost him $14.5 million. He hopes to make it up when he hits free agency. Top 10 unchanged in the college football playoff rankings. The playoff teams as of now, Alabama, Clemson, Michigan, and Notre Dame. The Irish have the toughest test Saturday, facing 12th-ranked Syracuse at Yankee Stadium. Syracuse coach Dino Babers unconcerned where the game is being played.
You know, when I grew up, we grew up playing on the front lawns of junior high schools and high schools, parks, played in the street, you know, with cars parked there. You know, if you get two really good teams that are motivated, they really play anywhere. So as long as it's not concrete and it's grass, I'm okay. I think the team will be all right.
There are actually games Saturday at Yankee Stadium and Fenway Park, where Harvard will play Yale. With a Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan.
John, thanks. In other sports news, if Canadians have their way, the Olympics won't be coming to their country. Voters in Calgary recommended the city abandon its bid to host the 2026 Winter Olympics as concerns about potential costs outweigh the prospect of an economic boost. The voters' rejection of this bid reflects concerns hosting the Games could impose runaway costs on a city that's already struggling because of a downturn in its bedrock energy industry. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. The Sports Report was brought to you by Investors Bank. Business wins here. Connect your team with the experts at Investors Bank for business solutions to move your business forward. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Aaron Roman at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, Karen. Oil is gaining for the first time in 13 sessions. The International Energy Agency expects global oil inventories to climb by 700,000 barrels a day this quarter. Sources tell Bloomberg the U.S. will hold back new tariffs on car imports. The move comes as the White House weighs revisions to a report on the national security implications. Steve Cohen says a bear market is coming and the economy may falter by 2020. The billionaire investor doesn't expect returns to be very good over the next 2 years. And Jeffrey Gundlach says Treasury yields will push higher, driven by a mismatch in supply and demand. The Double Line CEO also sees risks in corporate bonds. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
All right, Aaron, thank you. And S&P futures are lower, down 3.5 points. Dow futures down 24. NASDAQ futures down 29. The DAX in Germany is down 0.5%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32. Yield 3.13%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.88%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.1% or 6 cents to $55.75 a barrel. COMEX gold is down about 0.1% or 90 cents to $1,200.50 an ounce. The euro is at $1.1266. The yen 113.92. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, First Lady Melania Trump is calling for Myra Ricardo, the top deputy to National Security Advisor John Bolton, to be fired. Sources say the feud stems from Mrs. Trump's first solo trip to Africa last month. Meanwhile, reports are swirling about an imminent shakeup of President Trump's administration. Thousands of firefighters are now streaming into California to help fight those wildfires that have been burning for days. In Thousand Oaks, firefighters are working alongside prison inmates who wear orange fire uniforms and do hard labor digging fire lines. Meanwhile, the death toll has climbed from the campfire in Northern California to 48. In sports, in the NHL, the Islanders and Devils won along with the Capitals. In the NBA, the Warriors won. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Brief. News, market data, and expert commentary from the world's most trusted economists and analysts.
And it is 6:20 on Wall Street. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. Joining us now, Chris Sell, the editor of the Bloomberg Oil Brief. As we continue to watch this unprecedented slide in prices, Chris, now seeming to be stemmed with finally a pickup for Brent and NYMEX crude. Is there one overall factor driving this, or is it a combination of things?
Yeah, morning. Yeah, good question. I think there seems to be a lot of moving parts, but if you want to just strip it right back, this is all really stemming from the fact that for months and months, the market was very concerned about Iran and the sanctions on Iran and how much oil was going to be taken out of the market. And the rhetoric from Trump's in the US was, you know, they're going to come down hard. When the sanctions landed on November the 4th, then all oil would stop. It was a very bleak picture, and Trump put a lot of pressure on OPEC and its partners to ensure that they made sure that they were pumping lots of oil to make sure that there was an adequate supply for the market. That's what was happening in this market until the sanctions actually happened, and then they were a lot softer than I think the market was expecting. You know, the US gave waivers to 8 main buyers of Iranian crude. You know, China, its biggest buyer, Japan, South Korea, all. So there was a lot of oil actually still available for them, and Iranian exports haven't dropped as much as they thought. So you've got a lot more oil on the market and a lot less coming out of it than people thought. So, you know, you've got US pumping at record high levels. You've got Saudi increasing its production. You've got Russia increasing its production. Stockpiles are now sort of in surplus, and that is alarming the market in a big, big way. And you've now got these two major reports from the IEA and OPEC basically saying next year, 2019, there's going to be a real surplus in supply. OPEC said they're going to need 1.4 million barrels a day less of its crude on the market. The IEA says there's going to be something like 2 million barrels a day excess in the first half. That all is painting a very bleak picture, and there's no wonder that prices are dropping. At the same time, there's a concern over the demand. The dollar is strong at the moment, and it's affecting emerging markets. There's this concern over the, you know, this ongoing trade war with, you know, between China and the US and the general sort of impact that is having. So there are all these factors playing into the market, and so it's no surprise we're seeing what we're seeing.
Yeah.
What I guess is, I'm maybe jumping ahead of the question here, but what do we think is going to happen next? I mean, there's the big OPEC meeting on December the 6th. Now, it depends whether Trump, should we say, puts any more pressure on Saudi Arabia between now and then, and what he says. He obviously wants Saudi Arabia to not cut production. He doesn't want to see oil go up. He wants gasoline prices at the pump to not rise. It's politic for him to do that. It depends whether Saudi Arabia can convince its other OPEC producers and Russia to not do that either. But so this OPEC meeting is going to be very significant.
Yeah, and ahead of this meeting, we heard from the OPEC president just this morning speaking to Bloomberg, seeming to give some reassurance to the market by saying that they would cut production as needed. I mean, what does that mean?
It depends.
We've heard like a million barrels, 1.4 million barrels.
Saudi Arabia announced that they're going to cut, you know, up to maybe 500, they're going to take maybe 500,000 barrels a day off the market. And, you know, as you say, you've got OPEC's president saying the same. It depends. I mean, there's a lot of pressure here. There's obviously the geopolitical angle here, obviously, that the Khashoggi case is obviously looming over Saudi Arabia heavily here. And US so far hasn't, hasn't put sanctions on this. Obviously, pressure in Congress for them to do so. Trump hasn't come out and done any of that yet. So Saudi will obviously want to keep Trump on side. And whether that means they have to do what he says or to sort of toe the line with him, and they can convince others to do the same, then maybe that's what will happen. It's a fascinating situation at the moment. You also got to don't forget that, you know, U.S. stockpiles at the moment are also increasing. Cushing's forecast to rise for another 2.5 million barrels. That would be the eighth, if it's confirmed by the EIA numbers tomorrow, that would be an eighth weekly increase. Stockpiles are just sort of surging everywhere. So the picture is a very colorful one at the moment.
Yeah, to say the very least. Chris Sell, editor of the Bloomberg Oil Brief, thanks so much for being with us this morning. And you can read Chris's analysis and other news, market data, and expert commentary from the world's most trusted economist and analyst in the Bloomberg Brief digital newsletter. Sign up now at BloombergBriefs.com. Terminal customers can use the function Brief Go. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Marks Paneth, LLP. Marks Paneth, accountants and advisors have helped closely held and family businesses reach their goals for over 100 years. At Marks Paneth, success is personal. Learn more at markspaneth.com/success.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130
to Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 99.1
to Boston.
Bloomberg 1061
to San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960
to the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119
and around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are lower. Stocks in Europe falling as well as investors weigh the rout in oil and the latest developments on trade.
As for oil, it is little changed after falling yesterday for a record 12th straight day. The recent sell-off has hit oil producers in Europe. We get more from Bloomberg's Justina Lee in London.
Oil has shown no signs of bottoming out yet. OPEC is worried about demand falling, and the UK producers are down. You know, BP is down, or Shell is down, so it's really a bloodbath over there.
And thanks, Justina. Checking oil prices right now. NYMEX crude now down about 0.2% or 13 cents at $55.56 a barrel. Brent is up about 0.2% at $65.58.
The pound is pairing gains as traders await a UK cabinet meeting today to see if ministers will sign off on a Brexit deal.
UK inflation unexpectedly stayed at 2.4% in October as food, clothing, and transport prices declined. We get a report on U.S. consumer prices at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time.
China's economy showed tentative signs of stabilizing in October. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis reports from Hong Kong.
Retail sales slowed with a gain of 8.6%. That was down from the September reading and below the consensus forecast, both of which were 9.2%. Also, new home sales rose at the slowest pace in 6 months. But on the other hand, industrial production gained a better than expected 5.9%, and fixed asset investment had a beat as well. Those readings suggest that government stimulus is finally working its way into the real economy. In Hong Kong, I'm Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Brian, thank you. China's largest social media company, Tencent Holdings, has reported third quarter net income above estimates.
Shares of Snap are down more than 4%. The Justice Department and SEC are looking into allegations that Snap misled investors ahead of its initial public offering last year.
Shares of Tilray, which have surged more than 500% since the July IPO, fell 3% in extended trading. The Canadian cannabis producer reported a wider-than-estimated loss.
And Bloomberg News has learned the Trump administration will hold off for now on imposing new tariffs on auto imports. The move comes as top officials weigh revisions to a report on the national security implications.
S&P futures lower down 3 points, Dow futures down 21, NASDAQ futures down 25, the 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 3.13%, and COMEX gold is down about 0.1% or 80 cents to $1,200.60 an ounce, the euro is at $1.1267, and the yen is at 113.90. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
6:33 now on Wall Street. Karen, this news update is brought to you by Withum Smith & Brown. Audit, tax, and advisory services helping you and your business to be in a position of strength. Experience the Withum way by visiting Withum.com. Good morning, Michael Barr.
Good morning, Nathan. Officials in Northern California say the death toll is rising from the deadly Camp Fire. The deadliest wildfire in state history has now claimed the lives of 48 people, most of them in the town of Paradise in Butte County. Sheriff Corey Honey says the remains of six more bodies were recovered yesterday.
We were trying to move
tens of thousands of people out of an area very rapidly, with the fire coming very rapidly. No matter what your plan is to do that, no plan will ever work 100% when you're dealing with that much chaos.
The Camp Fire has burned more than 130,000 acres and destroyed more than 7,600 homes since it began last Thursday. Amid reports, President Trump is mulling another staffing shakeup. His wife wants to fire someone, too. Bloomberg's Martin DeCaro explains.
Myra Ricardle is the top deputy of National Security Advisor John Bolton. Sources tell Bloomberg she angered the First Lady by threatening to withhold security resources during Melania Trump's recent trip to Africa unless Ricardle or another NSC official was included in the entourage. Well, now in a public statement, the office of the First Lady says Ricardle no longer deserves the honor of serving in the White House. It's rare for First Ladies to publicly intervene in West Wing staffing decisions. In Washington, Martin DeCaro, Bloomberg Radio.
Democrats are in discussions about the best way to get the Treasury Department to hand over President Trump's tax returns. That's according to Richard Neal, the incoming chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee. Amazon's promise to bring 25,000 high-paying jobs to Queens has one of New York's newest politicians speaking out against a major project that the governor and the mayor backs. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez won as the underdog in the race to represent New York City's 14th congressional district, which is near the Long Island City location where Amazon will set up shop. Ocasio-Cortez is worried that the tech company's big investment will displace people struggling to make ends meet. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thanks. It's 6:35 now on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, members of the Brooklyn Nets admit there was crying in the locker room at halftime of Monday's game in Minnesota. The Nets' leading scorer, Caris LeVert, had just been carted off, taken to the hospital with a leg injury that looked very serious. But as it turns out, dislocated foot doesn't need surgery. LeVert could be back playing for the Nets later this season. The Warriors last night beat Atlanta. They were without the injured Steph Curry and the suspended Draymond Green. The team sat Green down a game for his verbal altercation with teammate Kevin Durant during and after Monday's overtime loss to the Clippers. Hockey in Newark, the Devil Star led the way.
Zajac will play this across. Here's Hall. Scores!
MSG the call, Taylor Hall, two goals, two assists. Devils beat Pittsburgh 4-2. Islanders in Brooklyn scored three times in the opening period, and we're done there.
Brock Nelson is in around the back of the net for Eberle. In front, Kunoc, oh, scores! Tom Kunoc, his second of the game, and the Islanders are ahead 4-2 for the moment.
And they beat Vancouver 5-2. MSG the call there as well. College basketball, LIU's Raekwon Clark, 33 points, game-winning shot with a second left to beat Fairfield 89-87. Iona went to New Mexico, lost 90-83. The Rutgers women with an easy victory, career victory number 1,000 for Vivian Stringer, the fifth women's coach to win 1,000 games. Will Jacob deGrom win the National League Cy Young Award? We'll find out tonight. DeGrom is the favorite to beat out three-time winner Max Scherzer. He would be the first winner of the award to only win 10 games. But Mets fans know the story. DeGrom was superb all season. They just never scored any runs for him. Managers of the year, Atlanta's Brian Snitker and Oakland's Bob Melvin. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. It is 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is from the Bloomberg View, the editorial page of Bloomberg Opinion.
French President Emmanuel Macron has called for the creation of a European army because the U.S. can no longer be counted on for Europe's defense. It's unfortunately true that Donald Trump's insults to European leaders have strained the NATO alliance. But Macron's proposal ignores a more significant reality. Pentagon spending on Europe has risen to $4.77 billion this year. The U.S. contributes 70% of NATO's military spending. The Pentagon has 65,000 military personnel and dozens of bases in Europe and rotates thousands of troops and loads of heavy equipment in and out of the Baltics and Poland. NATO continues to do its job admirably as both a military firewall and a forum for negotiating policy disagreements among its 29 members. Europe still has no need to replace it. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. For more Bloomberg opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been the Bloomberg View.
You can hear Bloomberg opinion editorials every weekday at this time. This week, we get a slew of retail earnings, starting with a report today from Macy's. We get a preview from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Bloomberg Intelligence says Macy's same-store sales likely accelerated in the third quarter. Analysts say the chain benefited from a strong back-to-school season, growth in digital sales, and initiatives for Macy's smaller brands such as Backstage and Blue Mercury. Forecasts are for Macy's to post an adjusted profit of 14 cents a share on revenue of $5.4 billion. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thank you, Jeff. 6:39 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Patrice Sikora.
Tesla and other automakers want the federal tax credit for electric vehicles extended, and they're teaming up in a new lobbying effort. The EV Drive Coalition, which also includes General Motors and Nissan Motor, will work to convince Congress to continue the $7,500 per vehicle consumer tax credit. The incentive is credited with helping establish the developing market for electric cars, but it's capped at 200,000 vehicles per manufacturer. Bloomberg New Energy analysts say Tesla probably reached that limit in July, and General Motors is expected to reach the cutoff later this year or early next. Nissan has sold about 125,000 electric vehicles as of September. Legislation modifying the cap has been introduced in both chambers of Congress and could be included in an expected push to extend expiring tax credits during the current lame duck session. The coalition says lifting the cap would sustain jobs and benefit the environment. And that's a Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Patrice Sikora.
All right, Patrice, thank you. Futures on Wall Street pointing to a flat open with S&P futures down a point, Dow futures down 4, NASDAQ futures down 18 points or 0.2%. Brent crude 20 cents higher at $65.66 a barrel, while West Texas Intermediate's down 11 cents at $55.58. Coming up, the Bloomberg Morning Call, brought to you by Columbia Bank. With 48 locations across New Jersey, you're never far from their wide range of banking solutions, from personal to business banking, mobile and online. You can always count on Columbia. Visit ColumbiaBankOnline.com.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures this morning are little change. Let's go to the first word, breaking news desk. For today's morning call, here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are quiet right now, with Dow futures higher by 6 points. S&Ps are little changed, and NASDAQ futures are lower by 15. The U.S. 10 yield at 3.14%. Oil trading little changed, and Shanghai fell 0.9% overnight. Well, European markets are trading mostly lower, led by 1% losses in Italy. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, the Consumer Price Index. And in trade-related news, the U.S. is said to hold off on car tariffs. After the bell last night, 3M said they were buying back $10 billion in stock. And regarding earnings this morning, look for Macy's to report around 8 a.m. Wrapping things up, Apple was downgraded to neutral at Guggenheim, and the price target was cut to $2.25 at UBS on those supply chain cuts. Kellogg's was downgraded to neutral at J.P. Morgan, and TD Ameritrade upgraded to overweight over at Morgan Stanley. Live from the First Rebecca News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg time, squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, in Florida, the Palm Beach County's vote recount hit a bump in the road. The counting machines overheated and broke down, overburdened by the extra workload. Mechanics were flown in and the machines were repaired in short order, but it forced the recount of more than 170,000 votes. Myanmar leader Aung San Suu Kyi has rebuffed criticism over her government's treatment of its ethnic Rohingya Muslims. U.S. Vice President Mike Pence told Suu Kyi the violence that led Rohingya to flee for Bangladesh was without excuse. Pence also said the convictions of two Reuters journalists in Myanmar was deeply troubling. In sports, in the NHL, the Islanders and Devils won, along with the Capitals. In the NBA, the Warriors won. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, how does Shakira play a role in impacting Monday Night Football? The NFL had to move the Rams showdown against Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs from Mexico City to Los Angeles because of poor field conditions at Azteca Stadium. A Shakira concert last month left the field a mess, and that's on top of soccer games and rainfall. Nathan, it's a disappointment for Mexican fans who would have seen what may be one of the biggest games of the season.
On the upside, Michael, they got to see Shakira. That's something.
Well, who doesn't?
The hips don't lie. That's what I hear.
Global News, 24 hours a day, on air, and at TikTok, on Twitter. I see your point. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
It's just what I've heard. Thank you, Michael. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where we're coming up on 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include the Senate holding a procedural vote today on Michelle Bowman, President Trump's nominee to go on the Federal Reserve Board. The National Transportation Safety Board holds a hearing on that jet engine blowout on a Southwest flight to New York back in April, the one that blew a window out. And House and Senate Republicans hold leadership elections for the next Congress when the GOP will be in the minority in the House and mapping out strategy to try to hold on to the White House in 2020. For more on that, we turn to Bloomberg Chief Washington Correspondent Kevin Cirilli. And Kevin, I guess we're not expecting too many surprises in terms of who's going to be on the top echelons of leadership in the House. But there is a change when it comes to the messaging, right?
Yes. You know, what's interesting is that Kathy McMorris Rodgers was in the position in terms of charged with really crafting the marketing of the Republican message in the midterm. And she was met with
GOP conference,
the GOP conference chair, and she was met with some criticism because they didn't, she really came in with, you're better off than you were a couple of years ago with the Republican controlled Congress. Well, enter Liz Cheney, Congresswoman from Wyoming. Of course, she's the daughter to former Vice President Dick Cheney. And now she has emerged in the minority party Republican leadership. And of course, we're also carefully monitoring whether or not Kevin McCarthy or Jim Jordan will be the minority chair. That's that Freedom Caucus versus more Ryan-esque, the House Speaker Paul Ryan-esque type of wing of the Conservative Party. So it's going to be interesting because, look, now they're in the minority party and they've got to rebrand. They've got to recraft. This is a president who is unpopular, a Congress which is unpopular, and political parties, both of which are polling unpopular as we enter into the 2020 cycle.
And when you bring in a figure like Liz Cheney, she's someone who appeals to both sides of those various wings of the Republican Party, doesn't she, in terms of the name recognition coming from her father, and also having a lot of backing with the Tea Party as well, doesn't she?
Yes, she does. And in fact, I also think it speaks to another issue that really has emerged for the Republicans. And this is my number of the day, because there's only going to be 13 of the 198 House Republicans are women in the Republican conference. Compare that, Nathan, with the 88 women in the 227 member Democratic caucus. Of course, we still have 10 races that we're carefully monitoring. So Liz Cheney is charged with also sort of broadening the scope. And I know a lot of Republicans that I talk to, they don't buy into the wordage of the war on women or whatnot. But trying to diversify a bit of the caucus, I do think, is something that she's going to have to pay attention to, especially given the suburban races that we've covered in the midterms that seem to shift slightly to the left.
Yeah, we have talked a lot about the struggle that Republicans really have seen in terms of appealing to women. What sort of message does Liz Cheney think the party needs to bring to try to reverse that?
Economics, national security. And you know, just in talking with a lot of Republican consultant types, they really, truly do believe that those issues on the economy, on national security, these are women's issues just as much as they are, other issues. So I think it will be interesting, especially given that Kyrsten Sinema just beat Martha McSally in this Arizona race, the Democrat winning in Arizona. First time in, I think, like 3 decades that a Democrat has won in Arizona. I really do think you are going to start to see a more noticed approach to, again, broadening this message. And, of course, these shakeups at the White House will also play into that. Who becomes the next Nikki Haley-esque type of figure within the administration? Right now, we don't know.
And while I got you here, I can't let you go without talking about the potential leadership fight that could be set up on the Democratic side as well. How much of a fight is potential House Speaker Nancy Pelosi looking at?
Well, this is what I always say about this. If the speaker race were held today, and we're still a couple, month and a half off, two months off, if it were held today, she's in great position. She's got money, she's got clout, she's got backing both inside of the Congress and outside. That said, Seth Moulton, a congressman, a Democrat congressman, you know, they've been having conference calls. I can tell you I spoke with a source earlier this week who told me they've been having conference calls. They're trying to whip in terms to see whether or not there is that opposition. There are a lot of Democrats feel it's time for new leadership. There was, of course, this issue on the campaign trail. In the midterms, many of these new these newly elected Democrats said they would not support Nancy Pelosi. But, you know, there really isn't a firm whip count right now. 6 weeks to 2 months is an eternity in Washington.
Sure is.
But right now, she's a very strong contender. And like I said, if it was held today, she'd have the votes.
Bloomberg Chief Washington Correspondent Kevin Cirilli, thanks for this. And you can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. A reminder, you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington at Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Coming up on 6:55 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
I'm Tara LaChapelle, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. If you're looking for a place to ride out the market's autumn gyrations, you can forget media stocks. Companies like AT&T, Netflix, Disney, and Dish Network may be insulated from some of the broader market's concerns, such as the trade war with China, but the media industry has been among the worst performers over the last month. Some of the biggest companies have been chasing less profitable TV streaming opportunities and debt-laden deals while trying to preserve their legacy businesses. It's not an easy balancing act. There's also the fact that Netflix has changed consumers' expectations around the cost and makeup of pay TV services. And so an industry that might normally be thought of as a haven from the trade war and other macroeconomic headaches is instead dealing with deeper long-term problems of its own. I'm Tara LaChapelle. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time, Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. 6:56 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report, and here's John Tucker.
Small U.S. companies confronting higher payroll costs say they're planning to pass on some of the pain to their customers. The net share of firms planning to hike prices jumped to a 10-year high in the latest National Federation of Independent Business survey. William Dunkelberg, the group's chief economist, says there is more pressure to pass these costs on in higher selling prices. The overall level of small business confidence remains elevated. The climate continues to support hiring and investment. Nevertheless, difficulty hiring qualified workers remains the number one issue for small businesses. NFIB optimism did surge in the wake of the presidential election in November 2016, and small businesses benefited from tax reform this year. Bloomberg Economics believes, though, the next reading could be lower. That's because it will reflect the results of the midterm election. And that is today's Bloomberg Small Business Report.
All right, John Tucker, thank you. S&P futures are lower this morning, down 6 points. Dow futures down 52, and NASDAQ futures down 36 now. The DAX in Germany is down 0.5%. CAC in Paris down 0.6%. The FTSE 100 down about 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 3.13%, and the yield on the 2-year 2.88%. NYMEX crude oil little changed at $55.69 a barrel. The euro is at $1.1272. Straight ahead, it's Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow. And for Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.